Dumela Ntabela, hello, and welcome to this week's news wrap-up brought to you by the SL Cabinet. I am your host today, Kwena Mashale, joined by my colleagues Herman Molloy and Nandintini. We are the youth of today, bringing you all things new and current affairs to our eyes. I hope you guys stick with us as we look at the week's biggest news, talk about the controversies and laugh about the weird ones. Let's get comfortable and dive right in. So the first topic on our list is basically, it's wrapped up in three things, right? So the president of the nation, Cyril Ramaphosa, gave the annual State of the Nation address yesterday, and there was a few things that he mentioned that were worth noting. So as usual, he touched on basic services like your water, electricity, net sanitation, infrastructure, everything wrapped all in one, right? So in a nutshell, he said the government is securing 100 billion, I'm right on that part, in private investment and 940 billion in public spending to upgrade infrastructure. As always, this includes roads, bridges, ports, and water systems. I think a lot of us are happy about the water system part, considering the fact that we've been hit, in a nutshell, with lack of water. And then other things he mentioned was major projects that include as well the, well, I didn't even know this was actually the first time I heard about it, was the Africa's tallest Mentutu Bridge. Am I saying it right? And the, that one, the, what's the name of the dam? I'm going to butcher the dam's name. The Polihali Dam.
Polihali Dam,
thank you, which is supplying 490 million cubic meters of water annually, and the 38 billion infrastructure fund for essential services. So let's unpack it. No? Essentially, there's a lot of infrastructure going on that is being built in the country, well, also outside of the country, because I understand that most of the water that's also going to come from the Lesotho Highlands.
Yeah.
Right. So, thoughts, guys. Herman, I'm going to start with you. What do you think of the whole money issue and everything?
So, two takeaways from me from the president's speech yesterday. Firstly, his boldness to deal with Trump when he said, yeah, we will not bully it. I think that was very important.
In the face of these challenges, we are witnessing the rise of nationalism, protectionism, the pursuit of narrow interests, and the decline of common cause. This is the world that we, as South Africa, a developing economy, must now navigate. But we are not daunted to navigate our path through this world that constantly changes. We will not be deterred. We are, as South Africans, a resilient people, and we will not be bullied. We will stand together as a united nation, and we will speak with one voice.
Him acknowledging, oh, it's actually three, not two. Him acknowledging that, you know what, maybe it's time we sit down and look at the whole UN mission and maybe bring the soldiers back. It's a takeaway for me. And then the main takeaway, obviously, for me will be infrastructure, the money invested in into infrastructure. Him admitting that, you know what, municipalities are destroying everything. So when you say you're going to build infrastructure, at least you're giving sense of how you're going to create jobs.
Yes.
Because obviously when you build a bridge, you'll hire people. When you build schools, you hire people to build school. After the school is being built, then you hire teachers.
Yes.
You hire security guards, you hire your cleaners, you hire and everything. So I think it was more... It was more light, you know. It was, I didn't see the need for him to talk for that long. Because once you say, yes, there's a flop, which is municipalities are not collecting as much revenue that we need. And infrastructure is on the knees. So once you admit that, and then you say, okay, we have this money and we are going to invest it in infrastructure. Yeah. So you gave a problem a solution. So for me, I felt confident reading the speech because obviously I was not watching.
Yeah.
Reading his speech, I felt confident. I felt like finally we have a president who has the best needs.
Yeah.
And yeah, the land question also, So it makes sense actually why he signed the bill if very things gonna go according to his statement. So you sign a bill, you're saying you not confiscating. I nearly used the Trump word. So you say you're expropriating land from those who don't need it, basically.
Yeah.
And then you're saying, okay, from there I'm gonna build schools. Yeah. So it makes sense. Now you have the land, you have the money.
Yes.
You just need to do the job.
Nandi?
Okay, so on my take, in terms of, I think I got more interested in the infrastructure part because we have, I just thought of schools, Mina.
Yeah.
Because since the opening of schools, schools have been crying about poor infrastructure, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
So I just pray that Ramaphosa just honors his promises this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And from, is it, what do we see this, those headlines on, because I was watching it, not reading it, came in a hand. I was watching it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I saw a comment of MK, this is just a waste of time. Yeah. And in my mind, I was like, so you guys forgot that your leader once stood there and spoke to the country. Just because he did not
off with it regalia.
It doesn't make sense.
I'm not even on the soldiers regalia, but I'm on the fact that they had a whole meeting of their own state and nation address before. And I'm like, why do you guys feel the need to do that?
Like, I don't understand
guys, I'm sorry. I know it was your take. I feel like we don't have to spend much time on Jacob Zuma.
Yeah, I've noticed. Like,
he ruined the country, allegedly. I don't feel like we should have that appetite for Jacob Zuma and his story. Because clearly the party is run by his family. It's run from Gandla, first of all. It does not have head office.
Yeah.
So it does not deserve that attention from me, per se.
If we just silent him and just act like he's
Mani today, he's crying on Twitter saying, hey, president set the date because he knew Jacob Zuma was going be to
court.
First and foremost, for the past 5 years, this guy has not been pitching. So Zuma was supposed to say, "Hey Joe, I know you have not been pitching for 5 years.
Mm-mm.
This year you coming? Oh, you're coming? No, give me the date that you're available.
Let me make sure that maybe I do it just in the later hours. But just to say, Ramaphosa, he.
I think at this point, let's just put it like this, The MK party, I see it just as a group club for Zulu people. It's a club for me. I don't really see it as a
I think as a group club, it's a group club.
Okay,
don't say
it's a club. It's an extra mural activity group.
Yes.
For Watwa Zuma.
Yes.
We all know who Zuma's people are, but it's fine.
Don't include that, guys.
And while we're actually on what Ramaphosa was saying, Shame, he also gave a tribute to the fallen soldiers, right?
We gather here as we mourn the death and tragic death and devastating loss of 14 South African soldiers who were part of a mission to bring peace to the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo. We pay tribute and bow our heads to Staff Sergeant William Edi Ola, Staff Sergeant Mulahlehi Ishmael Mulahlehi, Staff Sergeant Shashane Theophilus Siepe, Corporal Matume Justice Malisa, Corporal Rinae Nemaburani, Lance Bombardier, Itumeleng MacDonald Mureo, Lance Corporal Zeke Moffat Mulapo, Lance Corporal Metsi Stensley, Raswiswi, Rifleman Sibatane Richard Chokwe, Rifleman Derek Maluleke, Rifleman Tsidiso Andries Mabele, Rifleman Calvin Louis Moahi, Rifleman Moketi Joseph Mobe, Private Peter Jacobus Strado. Speaker, I thank you for getting us to honor these fallen heroes. I have directed that a national flag be flown at half-mast in honor of these fallen heroes for a week starting from tomorrow morning.
While we're on the Fallen Soldiers part, guys, this is a very sensitive topic for Herman, right?
And I'm siding with you.
Just tell us the truth.
We are not winning them. Stop sorting out these things. Don't tell us they are coming back tomorrow.
Guys, they said that if we read that statement properly, they said that they were delayed by UN logistics.
Wait, the statement was cooked. I'll tell you why.
Herman was listening to it.
We called this guy on Wednesday several times. He ignored our call. That means they were busy cooking the statement. At 5 o'clock, he said, "Guys, I'm gonna drop a statement. I just need confirmation. I need approval." I mean, what's there to approve? UN was delayed. It can't take you 24 hours to type that statement. They lied.
I get that. That's how they cook statements. We're waiting for approval.
You can wait 24 hours for that statement. Two paragraphs.
I think if in its own self, I think we even saw it when we spoke to the families. The families would have said no, yes, this SNDF did say that they're gonna come on Wednesday, but the families were like, we did not hear anything.
We are hearing
from you guys that they're coming back on Wednesday. So I think that's where the SNDF might have flopped on. They should have told the families, Wednesday. The flopping, and then they would have said, oh, sorry, it was delayed by UN logistics. Sure. Understand?
And also, Kona, you also spoke about something, them being called every day.
They're called every day.
I don't see the importance of that. Yes, they should sound and be remorseful, but call me when you're saying your child is on the way.
Guys, it is what it is, though. It is what it is. But yeah, let's moving on, right? We talked about infrastructure
in
schools.
You never shared your thought, Don Swan.
Oh,
you're not watching.
You didn't, Gwena, actually. You didn't share your thoughts.
But it's fine. I know you didn't watch. You didn't read. You just summarized. Okay, we can move to the next topic.
Okay, fine. Herman, ask me about Swan. I actually did watch the Swan. Thank you. I think the president's speech is repeated. It's a repeated thing. It's continuously the same thing. We're told the same thing every day. Money is being poured in every day. Money is being poured in every year. Okay, where is the proof to show that money is being poured in every year? You're telling us about water infrastructure. You told us that last year. You're telling us about electricity infrastructure.
They kept on clapping hands it's the first time they were hearing this.
The practical of it. We saw the project in Sterkfontein that joined Lesotho and Gauteng.
It's in process.
I feel like Ramaphosa is doing something, but he's not doing enough. And we shouldn't be clapping that he's doing something.
Yes.
We should clap once we see that he's doing much.
That's exactly my point. Yeah. I was going to talk about when he was speaking about how local municipalities don't do the revenue. But yet we still have the same local municipalities that go out and advertise the fact that whenever they are paving the pavement, we must come and take pictures of them
doing road pavement,
filling up roads and how they are cleaning up. And we must applaud you doing your job. For me, the speech, because I even read the speech again today to refresh my mind. And I'm like, this is the same thing. Because remember, even on Monday, I pitched it. And I'm like, this is the same thing they said last year. I read last year's speech. Same thing. This time, it's just new words, new projects, and new money.
New money being invested.
But at least this year, there was no... Okay, it was... Now we are implementing NHI. It was not like, we need to sign the bill into law. The NHI, Bela, expropriation.
I get the Bela and the expropriation. The other one, I'm still...
The NHI, I'm... I'm gonna be like,
you're cooking.
Let's cook. I'm gonna wait for the implementation of these bills
before I start
applauding, because I don't want to applaud and then next thing you know it's another way to steal people's money. I cannot. I'm also now a tax-paying citizen. Thank you so much.
And then actually, it was the first thing that came to my mind. That money
is my money. So you know how you used to hear your mom complaining.
Now you understand why she was complaining.
So please,
yeah, guys, I don't eat your tax money. Why are you looking at me?
Sorry, but anyway, guys. So speaking of schools and infrastructure. There's been a recent case this whole week, shame guys. There's a video that's been circulating of pupils ganging up on, I'm not sure if it's multiple pupils or was it one pupil, but they were ganging up on them, and the security guys and the people in the video were even scared to approach that certain group. And while we're also on just violence on that part of bullying, there's another incident of bullying at a What would we call it? A quantile 4, 5 high school in Centurion, where the mother basically went on social media talking about how her child was bullied by another learner in the same grade and how she went to extreme lengths to basically get justice for her kid, and is still going through it, but now it's turned into a legal battle.
Guys, on my way to Iskolo, Somtanam, my daughter just called me and telling me she was in tears, telling me that there's a boy at school that's bullying her. He's swearing at her and saying nasty things about her. So, and this has been going on for quite a while. It's the first time I've heard of it, and I can hear how hysterical she is. Anxious, can't wait to get to the school. So guys, as I predicted, got to the school first thing, and we're not allowed to do that, we can't do that, it's not the process. So Batikumo, they will conduct an investigation where the Bazo investigated the series of events and conduct interviews as chomis abandwana, chomis gakanyisile, or chomis of the perpetrator, to just get like his story, corroborating witnesses, etc. And then the parents will be called in with the boy as well. So nafinalo moment with the boy, because his parents being there, I think into disturb kakhulu. I asked the teacher that's handling the case, ukuthi, okay, so what will be the consequences? And ithini indaba yonke le process? So the response yakhe was to say that it depends. So it depends on if the perpetrator like collaborates, yabona, is remorseful, okay, don't. So basically she's telling me if lomdana uyaphika, then nothing's going to happen.
Obviously, you know the Gauteng Department of Education, how they love coming out and saying, we condone. We condone such bullying and such violence. We are investigating. I love that word. You know, the Department of Education is good at one thing and saying statements of, we are investigating. So, guys, what are your guys' thoughts, man? You know, bullying in schools, not really new, but it seems as if it's kind of also getting a little bit out of hand. And also now with the different classes, because if you look at the one class, actually, yeah, let's look at the two videos, right? Two incidents. One is in a township area. Another one is in a more quantile, urban area, right? And we can see the different responses to both. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
For me, school violence is something that has been happening.
Mm.
I mean, even last night I saw a disturbing video of a primary kid who was against the wall because of the attacks that she was getting from... I didn't see if it's boys or girls, but someone was kicking her.
Yeah.
And then we also saw that one you're speaking about in Pretoria.
Mm.
We also saw the mother venting about racism that is happening at the school. Guys, I feel like now we should, I'm not inciting violence, but I should, I feel like it's time when someone calls you kafir, you need to shepherd him with a hot club. So as once you see racism, I feel like you should fight back physically.
Yeah.
Because it's disgusting. We can't be dealing with the same thing to both the Mandela but they dealt with. It's yeah, it's becoming boring.
Yeah.
We need to start acting and just hit one inyana and let's see what happens. So I'm not inciting violence. Yeah. I didn't say go and beat people. But yeah, racism, it's something. Little xenophobia and everything. But I think we're up to here.
Yeah.
Oh, Halibuni, our listeners. But
I'm we're up to our next.
Up to our next with racism. It's something that is disgusting. It's something that should be dealt with.
Mm.
Ne? And then coming to you with how the department is dealing with the whole thing. Ne? Obviously, we saw when it was happening in last day, Pretoria Girls High.
Mm.
There was so much appetite to deal with it.
Yeah.
We saw the statement. It's always that. They always have appetite when it comes to Afri Forum culture.
Yeah. I feel like it's
They have appetite. And then when it's black people, we're like, nah, it's normal.
Yeah.
It must just happen. No.
It's normal.
I think it's telling the truth because we get the appetite, we get the spotlight. I mean, these schools get the spotlights.
Mm.
Yeah.
We even had they even had media briefing at the school.
Yeah,
this is what we are fighting this. But also in just township schools, like public schools, there's a lot that's going on. And just because the parents don't have that luxury of fighting it or going on social media and saying I'm tired of this, it does not mean good they need to be silenced.
I mean, Lena, I was abused when I was three. So it's always happening.
But Herman, this is just a serious matter because you find these kids now saying, if my case is not taken serious, then I'm not going to speak to my mom.
Yeah.
Going to the teachers, it's different because the teachers would tell you, report it two or three times. And then if they continue, then it means we now have to take action. Some kids kill each other because of this and others kill themselves because of this thing.
Yeah.
So I think the government should stop releasing statements. Barry, we are concerned. We want to fight this.
We are investigating.
We have been investigating. How can you investigate bullying? Go to the school, deal with the child.
I totally agree with you because even with the way they responded to our questions, ne, you can see that they respond
just
to
general questions.
It's just general questions, and they are responding to it very differently. With this one, they're investigating. But with this one, there's a lot of violence at the school. We're coming to do it, still dealing with it. We are doing safety measures. And it's like, so you're telling me you would investigate this one.
And but this one is just, you're still thinking about it. It's exactly what happened.
It's so odd. And you wonder why. Because we were speaking to an education activist. And I at some point, Hendrik Makaneta, sorry. And he was talking about mental health. And you see it a lot. And when he spoke, and what I found interesting from our conversation was that you would find that most of the time when something happens at the school, the teachers at the quintile 4 would be able to call the parents, and the parents very much right away come running to the school. First of all, the teachers won't call the parents.
Exactly.
Or the child of themselves, even if they try to call the parents. Parent, I can't come.
But then, guys, let's look at it this way. I get you. I get you. It's very interesting. Firstly, I want to speak about suicide. There's a case. I think we should have learned from Ulufuno. I don't know if I'm spelling her name or pronouncing her name right. Mm. But it's a girl who killed herself after she suffered
bullying and humiliation on social media.
So that's the thing. I think the department should have learned from that and done something. But it seems like they have not done anything. Secondly, I want to speak about parents being called. I mean, sometimes you can't blame the teachers.
Yes.
Because you know, Nandi, there's one, if you are not part of them, there's one kid at your class in grade 10 who was told, Rachel, bring your mother tomorrow. And then she either, or he either comes with someone he found on the street.
On the street, yes. Oh, they bite them.
Oh, and they just ignore it. Mm. You know, they, it's like, I'm not, not going to do that. So, yeah, Joe, it's, well, it's how we all also treat it. And I mean, Uma Mami works at a farm.
Yeah.
Does not have the luxury to say, I'm pulling up now. Yeah. Those ones, the mothers are bosses, CEOs and everything.
Yeah, so they can just say, my child is being bullied at the school, yeah. So I need to be
and
there.
And they learn how to essentially defensive. Yeah. It's not my child. No, no ways.
Exactly.
It's not my child.
Disclaimer, this is not to say the situation. Yeah. Can you see? Like this, we're not saying that we're just showing the two contrasts of essentially poverty and class. Showing that and how also basically society is still divided in its own way, and also the way the departments basically treat things are also still divided. I think if you're going to treat one certain school very high class and very much more in seriousness, let's treat them all the same so that the kids can understand that equal women. But anyway, guys, that also speaks to actually mental health, because the kids can also see it, as much as we like to think that kids can't see anything, almost war. But the kids, they see, guys, and they very much are aware of what goes on every day around them. So let's very much be proactive and not reactive. Well,
you know, when you speak about mental health, me, in Quantum 4 schools, when you say, "Mom, you know, I think my mental health is not doing well," your mom will say, "Okay, we're booking a therapist.
Yes, go see a therapist.
When in black families, when you say, "Mama, mental health," later on when you're watching TV, "Hey, mental health, pass me the remote."
I'm sorry, we're being very serious.
Yeah, it's not a joke, guys.
It's not a joke, but yeah. That, please, let's move on, guys. So, we're back to Zama Zamas, guys. So, the whole Zama Zama thing has not yet died down. We thought after a while, you know, they've been arrested. You know, there's a kingpin that they're on the lookout for. Well, I don't really see him as a kingpin. But they're on the lookout for him. There's also police people who were police authorities who were arrested for his escape. We thought, you know, everything's progressing, everything is letting go. No, the NGOs are still fighting. The NGOs are still fighting the state, saying that no, the deaths of the 89 illegal miners is labeled as mass murder by the government, right? So this is an NGO called the Mining Affected Communities United in Action. Macau accuses the government of failing to address the dangerous conditions in which these miners operate. The organization is calling for an urgent intervention to prevent further loss of life. I don't know, so what part of further loss of life do they mean? What do they mean there? Do you guys understand?
They're still there on the ground, even if not Strafontein. But there are miners. I mean, currently I know there's an operation in Germiston. In Germiston. So going back to the whole thing, applying to say this is mass murder, it's quite disgusting. It's only a comparison,
Marikana Masaka
was people who were living an honest life, who were working hard, who had contract to say, you know what, I know they didn't say we want 5%, they were straight, we want 12.5%.
Yeah.
which was funny. So I don't mean the situation is funny. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, that I have they don't get want, you.
Yeah. So now for me, this thing, it's disgusting, Joe. I think NGOs should just relook at themselves, because what they represent, it's honestly not constitutional.
I think my thing is that my take on these mining affected communities united in action. I get the mining affected communities. You might represent actual miners, actual people who do the mining, who are part of your unions, who the union is recognized by the company, you know, when something goes on. I understand that, like, some people like that. Those ones, I understand that. The metal workers, I understand that. Now, in regards to this organization, now that represents illegal mining. So are you telling me as an organization,
you represent criminals.
You, as an organization, you promote criminal activity and call it civil rights. That's why I get confused.
But then the owner of the mine should account also, Joe. People can't just get into your house and do whatever they want and you act like nothing
but
happened.
I mean, I can't, you know, that one, I'm not going to lie to you, that one I disagree with you. Let me say this, Ned. This is a mine that these are mines that were abandoned. They are over billions of mines, not even billions, maybe I'm exaggerating, thousands of mines in the country. I can remember the South Africa. I actually did my research. Thank you. South Africa was a very, was the gold, you know, the gold hub in Africa. Mm. We still are, but then we lost a lot of investments in the golden sector due to obviously state capture and corruption. There were a lot of companies that left, especially due to also the increasing prices that we were doing. So I understand what you say, Hore, we also need to hold the companies are liable, but there are some that literally are abandoned to a point where there is no security on the mine. The mines are shut. It's not, so now you're going to hold, like, it's like literally somebody from Van Riebeck going back home to Europe and saying, I don't want to be
and
involved.
You're
going to want to hold someone in Van Riebeck accountable.
But then this is a different case with mining in Stilfontein. I get what you're saying. The mine was closed in 2015 following the two earthquakes. These people saw, you know what? These people are in danger. We're putting them in danger. And they might, because constitution agrees, they might sue us and everything. Yes. So it's better we shut down before losing much. But have we seen the closing statement, like license? We have not seen it.
Okay.
Have they said, okay, we've put measures to say no one will come this side because this place is not safe? Have you seen any hazardous sign in the mine? There's not as such.
Okay.
So you are allowing them to come in.
Hemen, you lock your gates in your house, ne? Listen.
Okay.
You lock your gates in your house, ne?
Mm.
Or you just, maybe you forgot to lock them, ne? A criminal will always come in, whether you locked or you forget to lock. When you are blaming this owner of the mine for this criminal, they knew, they know how to investigate. They know which this mine is vacant, this mine is doing what. Yes, the owner may have maybe put those red signs and barricaded the entire area, but a criminal will jump that thing, will override that and get inside. So,
Nandi, I mean, you're speaking about a house. A house, you forgot to lock the house. Okay? So are you telling me in the county of high employment rate, a bank leaves the door open and one enters and you say, no, it's fine. They were not supposed to do that. The banker should have done this and that and that.
I feel like Hemen is now that thing where, I'm not going to lie, I think both me and Nandi disagree with you.
It's a
valid thing.
We'll have the conversation.
But my thing is that, let's leave it at this. We all both agree that as NGOs really need to look back at themselves.
You can't be fighting
for criminals. It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. It's the same. I understand there are organizations that, like, it's a very touchy subject. You can't.
Organization, don't try to defend them. I know where you're going. I know. There's that one that says it's what foundation. I think there are three. They call themselves Mammang Foundation, Struggle Icons. I know what they represent. I'm not going to say any word, but I understand where you're going. So, yeah, they need to relook.
I think all NGOs need to relook at. Because at the end of the day, I feel like it's that thing where now it's become a point where now the constitution is sometimes now used against its own people. And it's very, it's very, very unfair to the people who are born in the country. I'm not saying it's the others who are not born in the country don't have rights. I'm just saying... It's a very touch and go thing. And in a situation where you have illegal minors and you have NGOs who are representing illegal minors and not realizing that those illegal minors actually do crimes outside, even outside of the mines. I mean, they rape people outside of the mines. Allegedly. They rape people outside of the mines. And yet you still go and support them in court. That's wrong, man. That's wrong on a whole another level. But let's leave it. It's fine. It is very much fine. So, guys, bringing it back to... What kind of way is Stilfontein? Who are we?
Northwest.
Bringing it back to Gauteng, right? Guys, Rea Vaya buses are being shot at. No, not buses. Drivers are being shot at.
We received a call from our intelligence informing us that something went down. Then we immediately ran there. And then the scene was not nice. It was not something which is very good to see.
In the past week, I think three were shot at, right, Nandi? Three?
Two
were shot at. I came up with a theory that this is all involving taxi mafias and how the taxi industry, allegedly in Gauteng, do not like the idea that the drivers are from KwaZulu-Natal and are driving their buses that were meant for them. This is my own theory. I am just saying this because of what I've written on and what I've heard from taxi associations. Nandi, please give us a debrief.
The issue of these drivers, it's painful because one driver that was shot, I think it was in Mapetla. So basically the incident happened just in less than 10 minutes.
Mm.
And also according to my theory, I think it's just one person or they were just walking, they were just driving together. Because how can a driver be shot quarter past 8 and then in Mapetla and then Protea Glen quarter to 9? The distance between there, it's definitely 15 minutes distance because we drove from a Protea Glen to Mapetla. And to hear the residents saying that they had 16 bullets. I mean, two bullets is enough. What was the driver going to do after you hit him with one bullet in a bus? And it's so scared because it's so sad because even the drivers, because we were speaking to also the drivers, they told us that Bona, their fear is safety. And also they suspect the taxi people because apparently last year the same issue happened. They wanted to sit down with the KZN people regarding the feeder buses. But Ukeni and whoever, they brushed it off. The taxi people were like, sharp. They started escorting them like they are escorting them now. And then they saw that, okay, taxi people have forgotten. And then the one driver said, they saw that we were sleeping. They were sleeping on us. That's why they came back and attacked. And all honestly, this escort for me, it's gonna die out.
It's gonna die out again.
And taxi people, you
by escort, guys. What we mean is that so Nandi and I use the bus, right? So well, I've used the bus in Bramfontein. Nandi uses the one from the Soweto coming all the way. So guys, when we say escort, we mean JMPD. Literally escorting the buses, being at the bus stops, and some of them being even inside the buses and sitting with the drivers. That's how escorting and how protecting it seems to Ukenukenene's solution is. And I honestly feel like Ukenukenene sometimes doesn't take things as seriously as he should take them. Because you can even see sometimes he likes doing this thing where he's like, yeah, I resolved it. He does that a lot. I'm not sure if you guys are interested with the Lillian Ngoyo matter, with the whole contract. I was writing Lillian Ngoyo this past on Monday. And he explains that, no, the previous contractor and the city were going at it about how if they didn't settle amount, because obviously they wanted to kick them out of the contract. So it's a thing, if they didn't settle amount, there was going to be a long legal dispute. And then he says, but I came in and I resoluted it. And even last year, Nandi, when I was doing the feeder bus story, again, he said it again. He's like, I came in and I resoluted and I made it sure.
And the drivers are telling the truth. Even the communication inside, there's no communication between the company and the drivers.
There is no communication because Pyre Trans is still under, what do you call it? Under business rescue. Mm. And so you have a company that's under business rescue. Then you have a counselor, MEC, who takes pride in mediating one conversation and then that's it from his side. And it's like, what's going on though? But there are people's lives at risk and at stake. And honestly, those taxi mafia people are still going to be angry because at the end of the day, they were promised to be driving those buses.
Mm.
And then you bring in people from the KZN region to drive those buses. What did you think was going to happen?
So are you saying they didn't just bring the bus? They bought the bus with a driver from KZN.
Yeah, yes. Everything package. Get package.
Wow.
And then, secondly, you know, there's a funny way people route money with deployment and everything. Mm-hmm. So are you telling me that in the city's budget, there's a budget allocated to JMPD to say, you guys are going to there. You are going to escort. It's a funny way to loot money. Like, it's something, you know. I mean, if you ensure that you do regular checkups, if you ensure that you enforce this law in the city, if you ensure that stop and goes are a normal thing and they don't take bribes.
Yeah.
You won't need to escort people. I mean, like, I'm literally going to school and I see GMPD with a gun. That contributes to my mental health. And when I get to class A, my mental health, I'm still scared because I saw a gun.
I think with this one, I feel like the rear via buses are still going to see a bit of kind of a collusion. Mm. There's going to be a lot going on with the rear via buses once more this year, but it is what it is. And I like how they update people on Twitter and just like, if you didn't see the tweet, you didn't see the tweet. It's not our problem.
It's not our problem.
It's not their problem. But they tweeted the communication to you. I just love it. But anyway, moving on, guys. So the final topic of today is, I think, one that was in the light, but not in directly in the light, right? So the city of Tshwane, like, impounded a Wanatu vehicle. So for those who don't know Wanatu, where have you been living? But Wanatu is a e-hailing service specifically driven. The cars are specifically driven by Afrikaans-speaking drivers. I want to make it clear. Speaking. So they, I was reading an article for News 24 when the initiative started, and they're saying that no, they will allow it. They're not restricting it. They're just saying that the drivers need to be Afrikaans-speaking. Right. And we tried to get comment from the South African Human Rights Commission. But they kept saying that no, we can't comment on the matter. We are still investigating and we're still receiving complaints. So we can only comment. Actually, they actually gave me a response. I mean, they said next week they'll be able to comment and give us back feedback on what's been going on, right? So in light of this, obviously we all know how e-hailing drivers are supposed to work. Taxis, e-hailing, Uber, Bolt, you all need to have permits in order to pick up people and commute them. Yes, that's much better. To commute people, you need to have a permit that does this. So apparently the Wanatu company did not have a permit. In his own words, he says, I broke the story and everybody else followed. So Herman, break the story to us again.
So yeah, I broke the story and I'm still saying it. No, I didn't break it as in like investigating and everything.
Yeah.
But we wrote the story based on what was transpiring that day.
Mm.
And it grabbed more attention. I mean, now the city of Tshwane has imported more vehicles.
Mm.
And every media house is now doing an interview with MMC.
Mm.
So basically, these guys, by HO, you don't have operating license. And when I do want to argue to say, I don't need that to drive. I don't need that. I'm driving my own car.
Mm.
So yeah, basically it's an argument between the city of Tshwane and Wanatu about how you should operate. But
Yeah,
we can leave the disgusting part. Yeah, we still have people who feel like they're superior to others. They feel like they deserve certain treatment. Mm. They deserve to be respected or, you know. So, yeah, for me, I mean, I have said it before. Disgusting, I'm using for the third time in this episode. fourth time. Honestly, racism for me, it's actually a disgusting topic too. Because you know what? What does it do, racism? Once you hear about this incident, when you see white people, automatically you're in that mind. Yeah. So there are people who, I know Malema has said it before, who say, at some point, I start by respecting a white man because I feel like he's white. And you've been told, oh, hey, these people are brilliant and whatever, whatever the case may be. So now what I've developed is hate against them. I don't want to lie.
I
hate them. And then once you speak to me and I realize you, actually you're a cool person, that's when I change my attitude towards you.
Yeah.
And it's not a good thing. I'm agreeing, yes, it's not a good thing. Yes. But as much as they keep doing this thing, I think they're making us more angry. I mean, AfriForum, Trump.
Guys, come on. It's very disgusting, Gwena, because now Bona, they can do things because, I mean, it has to be an exception because you are an Afrikaner and you are white. You have to drive the street without permits. We have your Uber, we have your Bolt, they have permits. And they have permits because they need to ensure that we are safe on the road. So I give her this Wanatu. Footy, I'm not gonna lie. Very, they not. They won't. I can't even request that.
I bless you so it. At least when
you can request it, but some of us.
Something that is gonna happen. It's not gonna happen.
But also, it brings a lot of hatred because over the years, guys, it's not that we don't like white people, but every day you see this thing bullying white people, get the spotlight. Wanatu is this, and you are reminded as a black child, okay, I come, it's them, from and the then it's me, it's others, we are the others too. And obviously, hatred, it's gonna be there. And
let me ask you guys this, don't attack me, it's just a question, and I'm not defending or doing anything. I'm just, it's a simple question, straightforward. If the company, mind you, Lesotho wants to take three provinces, but let's not touch on that one. If it was a company by a Bedi person, and the Bedi person says, no, you need to speak Bedi only. The drivers need to specifically speak Bedi, speak Xhosa. Would there be as much as an infight would they be as much as a conflict now that we're seeing on social media? Or when would it be kind of
corner? We have a history.
I understand that. But let's do it in a neutral conversation. Yeah. If it was a thing, I am saying I only want drivers who are Pedi speaking, who are Zulu speaking, who are Xhosa speaking.
Where?
Would it be?
Okay, then you must respond to me first.
So when you say you want Pedi Xhosa speaking, where? In Joburg.
In Joburg, yes.
In Joburg.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense, Gwen.
Why not?
It doesn't make sense. Go ask for Xhosa in Eastern Cape, where we will understand you. Pedi is in Limpopo. But in Joburg, everyone is here. So when you want your specific tribe
to be able to speak, is that a violation of which right?
It's tribalism.
It's not a violation of a right.
It's not it's tribalism.
So we are trying to co-live. Firstly, we are trying to co-live. Secondly, we are the black people who have a history with these white people who treated our grandparents the way they treated them. And we can't allow it to happen at this time during our ages. So to answer you, if it's that case, it's not a good thing because it violates their rights. But also, it's a measure to ensure that you at least increase the number of employment in South Africa. These people, they have land, they have everything, and you still want to. It's not even about, it's not, it does not come from goodness of their heart.
Mm.
It's trying to protect themselves like they did with Orania.
Mm.
That one, we might argue, he's trying to boost the employment rate in that particular area.
Mm.
I'm not saying it's a good thing and someone must do it. Mm. But we should look at what is happening. I mean, it's happening in St. John, first of all. And it's happening in a place where the whites believe it's their place.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to live there in harmony.
Yeah.
Something like Orania, which becomes a crime against human rights.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do it from the goodness of your heart and you're going to explain, you can't say only. If you're going to say, okay, my preference is Pedi, it's fine. Do it. Mm. Don't say only.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only is the term that degrades it.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. That was a heavy topic to end the episode on. But anyway, guys, thank you all for listening to the episode. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts, review and subscribe for free on Ayono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This podcast is a Times Live production and our producer is Demi Buzo. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on the biggest stories of the week from me, Gwena, and my colleagues Nandi and Herman. Bye.
Bye.